scump pressa.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, review shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
I just ate some, my energy levels are pumping.
So hot.
Who now break my soul?
I'm at the bottom of my pre-workout.
Oh, yeah, Jody went to the gym this morning. That's why he was late. But he got a pump.
I got a pump. It was so good. You got to get a pump.
It felt like he was coming. If you've ever seen an Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary, you
gotta get a good pump.
He compares the getting the pump and stuff to actual orgasm or climaxing.
He would know.
He would.
So is his wild oats.
Apparently,
Arnold.
Yeah, allegedly,
he sold his oats all over the field.
No,
I'm talking about literal fields. He was just walking.
No, but remember the one with there was a cleaning lady that was going.
Yes,
out,
that he paid out like the nanny or something.
Nanny, yeah.
Not Fran Drescher, his nanny.
He gave her the pump. Come standard in your contract.
Come standard.
Hey, come standard. on that like muscular note, let's get into the news.
Where news and shorts.
Doctor Strange 2 almost featured a world where Deadpool was a celebrity.
Yeah, this causes me concern, eh? Because it shows you that Marvel is just like, what the fucking with the... They're just throwing ideas at the wall at this point. Like, constantly. This is a bad idea. This was not how you should introduce Deadpool.
Why?
How would this have worked?
It's an alternate world. They could have spent 5 minutes in that world.
Yeah, but is that how you introduce the Deadpool character to the MCU?
Yeah.
No. I would argue no.
Multiverse?
No. Multiverse is not an excuse to do shit.
Multiverse is the one excuse where you can do everything.
You can do everything, but should you?
Well, they didn't end up doing it, but yes. I don't feel as strongly as you. It wouldn't have worked.
I just have concerns that Marvel is a bitchy...
You have too many concerns with Marvel.
I know.
We don't know what the end game is. Everyone must just fucking relax.
That's true.
We don't know what... It could build up to be even better than the first fucking part.
I would hope so. And I mean, we should go into it hopeful. And it's somewhat ironic that you are the hopeful one in this friendship right now.
The thing is, like, I've changed my...
Because you've let go quite a bit.
I've let go.
I know.
It is what it is. This is part of... Every year, we're going to get Marvel movies. And if people, like, constantly fucking analyze every single fucking thing, then you're going to drive yourself insane. So I don't do that. I take it as it comes. And I just hope for the best.
No,
I hope for the best with the shows. I hope for the best with everything. And even if they had to do this, whether I liked it or not, they did it. Or they would have done
it.
And I would have been like, fine. Okay, sure. Deadpool's in here. We all know he's coming anyway.
Yes.
He's coming.
He's coming. He's post-pump. But, yeah, I agree with you. You are right. I shouldn't get so worked up about this stuff.
I'm not going to tell you how to be a fan.
I agree with you. I think that there's such an oversaturation of Marvel everything.
Yeah.
That you can get caught up and be frustrated and all of that. But it's pointless.
It is pointless.
In this case, I'm glad that they didn't introduce Deadpool in this way.
Okay.
I think that there's better ways to...
Were there any details on how exactly they were going to do it? Or did it just like he was going to be a celebrity in another
universe? They storyboarded the fact that the main writers for Doctor Strange, they were like, they seriously considered this. He was going... One of the universes they'd go into is Deadpool is like a massive star.
But I think it could have possibly worked because one of the things that we had an issue with is we didn't see enough of the other universes.
Yeah, there wasn't enough detail.
Yeah, but I mean, it ties into her being able to go to exactly where she needs to be. So,
yes.
Yeah, but I mean, sure, man, enjoy. Look, my favorite additions to the Marvel Universe so far is Ms. Marvel, which I've been watching on Disney Plus, and
shout out Disney Plus.
And the other one,
from
Doctor Strange, Sochi. Yeah. Moon Knight was I had higher expectations for Moon Knight, but wasn't that great. They stuck the landing, I would say.
Yes,
but
the middle was a bit
overall. It was a bit underwhelming, but Ms. Marvel, I'm really enjoying.
Like, I haven't watched it yet.
It's totally different. It's not necessarily for adults necessarily, but we are children at heart. So
yeah, but again, that thing of Marvel fandom and the negativity around anything that's not like white male,
white male or die. The world is a changing, my bro. If you don't want to change with it, you must fuck off.
100%.
Top Gun Maverick. Yo, it's moving it at the box office.
It is making insane amounts of money.
Yes.
It's currently at 1.1 billion globally. And Tom Cruise signed a deal where he got 10 million, I think, as his normal thing, right?
Salary.
15 million, sorry. And then 10% of gross after... 10% of gross, or say 10% of net, because it's like the whatever the gross is less the distribution cost, blah, blah, blah. So he's currently at about 90 million from Top Gun.
And now the Indians were at a very good weekend or whatever, and kind of
like,
Top Gun.
Yeah, but remember,
you're at the tail end now of Top Gun's run. So it's like Minions, it might have dethroned them at number one, but Top Gun has made over $1 billion.
Yeah, Top Gun is the most successful movie this year by a distance. And also, it's doing so well that Paramount has not even set a release date for streaming yet. They're just like, we'll see.
They're going to ride, yeah.
They're just going to keep going.
They ride that jet all the way.
All the way. That F-16 is swinging, bro. Man.
No, but it's they deserve it.
They do.
Like, I can't argue with that.
No.
It was its best scene in cinema. And
people are seeing it.
100%. Go fucking watch it.
Apparently, if Tom Cruise does come back for a sequel, then he's guaranteed even more back in. So,
they are obviously going to push for a sequel.
They are.
But I hope they don't.
I hope they don't, but a lot of people are also saying, let's see Rooster and Hangman.
Yeah,
and
Top Gun Rooster. Yeah. That's what
yeah, people want to see the new Creed then. Yes, that's actually exactly what they should do. Yeah. But will it be as successful without Tom Cruise?
I don't know. I mean, if they actually... So they actually have to fight, I think, for this to Tom.
Yeah.
They actually have to have dogfights.
Yeah, the whole thing should be about them trying to kill Tom Cruise.
What was that? Sorry, nothing. What did you say?
How many times did I say actually?
Yeah, I say actually a lot.
Actually, you don't trust.
You can actually owe your back, actually.
Producer be producing.
Be producing fucking headaches for me. That's what she's producing. Next story. Kevin Feige, the all-knowing god of Marvel.
The godfather.
Marvel Cinematic Universe warns Sony not to copy the MCU. How did he do this?
Kevin Feige, apparently, because you know the whole relationship with Disney and Sony is quite tenuous, right? There was the split with Spider-Man, then they got it back. People don't really know where Morbius and any of these other Spider-Verse films fit in. And Kevin Feige does give Sony notes on their movies to try and keep things within universe as much as possible. But one of the things he also told him is, don't try and do our Avengers shit with your movies. It's not going to work. Because Sony has been trying to do their version of the MCU for a very long time.
Do you know what this is?
Tell me.
So Marvel is Iron Man in Iron Man 1.
Yes.
And he built his first arc reactor.
Yeah.
Sony is that other that short fat scientist.
Oh, the guy
that he talks to and he's like,
yeah,
why aren't you doing this? Yes. And he's like, he built this in a cave.
The guy that comes back
who shaved himself bald for some reason. And he's like, I'm not Tony Stark. And this is the difference.
That is a wonderful,
Marvel
wonderfully accurate.
Light years ahead of what Sony can. Anytime Sony tries to build anything,
it just fails dismally.
Because it's they're so like who is the Craven now? Is that
Aaron Taylor Johnson?
Yeah, and he doesn't get the character at all.
Did you see the story, the notes that are coming out from like the story description and stuff?
No,
Craven is apparently
an anti-hero again.
Well, an anti-hero, but he's also like this guy who loves nature.
No.
Like, he's a fucking hunter.
He literally has a lion pelt around
his... No, exactly. Like, the whole point of him is that he hunts.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's so, again, it's Sony is not getting the characters. That Madam Web film with Dakota Johnson and everyone in it, that's also, people don't even know what to expect from that. I'm like, wow, how the fuck are you telling a Madam
Web
story? So
I'm not worried. I'm not worried. And it's also, it does hurt my heart a little because they have the rights to such cool characters and they just keep catching on.
And also the potential of the Spider-Man stories, as we've said, they've now got Spider-Man in the perfect place for that to go forward. But it's Sony.
Yeah, Sony's going to fucking shit the bed. Just watch. Just watch. Every single time. I don't know why they're developing that. They could have made a Spider-Man film with Kraven the Hunter.
Yes. I would have loved it.
Imagine just Spider-Man trying to Spider-Man, and every time out of nowhere, Kraven just pops up because he's hunting him.
Yeah.
Like constant fear and shit. That would be amazing.
That's all you needed.
Nah, but they don't know what.
Do you want to write to Sony? Do you want to try?
I will do whatever I can to get a PlayStation 5. So, Sony, if you need consultant.
That's a natural segue.
If you need a consultant, I'll fucking be there.
I don't need money.
I just need one PS5. You don't have to pay me a fucking salary.
For a lot.
Yeah, gee, it's not a lot. Well, it is quite a lot. I see it's like 13K. So maybe my credit card is going to be credit carding.
Oh, yeah.
No, it can't. I can't.
Put it on 12 months or 18.
Speaking of Kevin Feige, again, apparently Taron Egerton. Taron Egerton has met with Kevin Feige, and he was one of our calls for Wolverine.
Yes. He's like the most popular call for Wolverine.
I think so.
And that's what they met about, according to Taron.
Yeah.
I am so behind this, bruh. If this gets pulled off, have you seen Boss Logic's artwork for Taron Egerton as Wolverine?
Not yet.
So just.
Let's see.
So good.
But he was one of my picks. So.
And he's got the stature, right? Like, if you want to do proper Wolverine, like, Hugh Jackman was always a bit too tall for that character. Wolverine
he won us over with his performance.
He did. But as a new, like, you know, the going forward now, a MCU Wolverine, Taron Egerton is the choice to do it.
Hey, where is it?
Did you Google it?
No, I didn't Google it. It is on his Instagram. Usually, posts
yeah,
it on his
he
Instagram.
Puts it on his Insta. And I think you and I spoke
that's
about
the concept.
There's that, but there's another one of Taron Egerton. You and I spoke about how Boss Logic is like they use him to test the waters.
No, they all they, these oh, things. This is his thing now.
Hey, I just felt like doing this drawing. What do you guys think? Because he did this. He put up this post. I think it's an old one of his that he put out right after the story broke. And he's like, just pointing it out that this is what Taron Egerton might look like as Wolverine. What do you guys think? He has like the grizzly chin. He's got, I mean, just in this picture of him that is on the story of Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
You can see the jawline. You could see if he had that mask on, the yellow mask. That shit would work, bro.
Can you see the Abbey?
I don't know.
Taron Egerton.
He's from Kingsman.
And Rocket Man.
Nice. He's playing Thor, man.
Can you
well, he's white, so they all look the same, but he looks slightly a bit more like Wolverine. Yeah, I'm for this. I'm for anyone who will give it a proper go. I think this could be fun, and you can't ignore that Wolverine is one of the most popular characters, and if they bring him in, they have to do it.
They have to do it right.
Mm. Yeah. And I want to see some move. You know, you must cut motherfuckers up.
He
you
has
know what
to
I mean?
Go full rampage.
But then they can bring in X-23. There's so many possibilities. But anyway, yeah, fucking.
Let's hope this pans out.
Let's hope it works. Even if it does pan out, let's hope it fucking works. They mustn't pull a Sony.
Oh.
I didn't even know Cameron Diaz was retired. But apparently she's coming out of retirement.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know she was retired. What was her last film?
Annie.
Huh?
The Jamie Foxx-led Annie film.
Oh, goodness.
And that's why she's coming back also, apparently, is that she's saying that Jamie Foxx is the only person who she would agree to work with.
To but he seems like a fun guy.
Yeah, everyone like loves working
he, like, he's
with
such,
him.
He must be such a nice guy to
and
work
he's,
with.
He's, have you seen interviews with him?
Yeah.
Like his storytelling and stuff.
He's really good, yeah.
Because
yeah.
His impersonations are so on point. But yeah, I don't think anyone really knew that Cameron
Diaz. So what
Diaz
is she coming back with to work with him
it's
for?
It's a Netflix
Tyson.
Film.
Oh.
Was she going to play one of the people?
Don King. Cameron Diaz as Don King. A transformative role.
Wow. It has to literally be transformative. The blackface might be an issue, though.
No, she mustn't play a blackface.
She's playing it just...
Playing it straight. Just jala
hair
up.
Here we go. She has yeah,
look at
that.
The callback to Something About Memory.
There we go.
Memory, Something About Memory. That'll be my autobiography. There's something about this memory.
Oh, wow. No, this was really weird. I just haven't seen her in anything, but I didn't assume she had stopped acting completely. I don't know if it's a once-off. I don't particularly care.
So the film is called Back in Action.
Yeah.
And that's appropriate.
True to life.
Yeah. It's an action comedy. She's going to work with. Okay. Yeah, fuck it. Bring her back.
Yeah.
I enjoy Charlie's Angels.
She, I mean, look, 90s Cameron Diaz was like.
No, like the really like when she appeared on The Mask, it was like you never saw anyone like her before, ever.
That, and, I mean, Something About Mary, About Memory.
Oh, yeah. Something About Mary's Memory.
That's an iconic film.
Something About Memory.
Yeah. Something about her memory.
No, yeah, for sure. She's one of those Hollywood staples, man. And I honestly didn't know she retired. When did she announce this? When did Annie come out?
I don't think that she announced it. Oh. Annie's like from 5 years ago or something. I don't think
that's
Annie,
not a retirement. That's a sabbatical. Annie... Oh, where?
Paid sabbatical.
Oh, where? No, okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, it Netflix, so it could be bad, but... You know, Jamie Foxx. So it could still be bad.
So it could still be bad.
Hugh Jackman responds to Deadpool 3 cameo rumor with new photo. Jody, you put a lot of superhero movie news in.
In my defense, the news was it was thin.
He says that every time. Every week he says the news was thin.
This was rough this week. But this actually touches on what you were talking about earlier. And people obsessing about like anything MCU related. So apparently Hugh Jackman put a picture up of himself looking at his phone. And people were like, oh, what's he surprised by? Mm. What could the shocking news be? Is Hugh Jackman going to be in Deadpool 3?
No, he's going to be in the Ringleader 2. What's that like, cuck movie? Where he's
Showman.
The Showman. Greatest Showman 2. Yeah. More show. You didn't even watch it.
Yeah, that coming from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
She's like, I like that film. You didn't watch it. Oh. What? Okay, I'll be interested to know
he
what
still,
film you're actually talking
world
about.
Tour?
Wait, what film are you talking about? That's the Prestige.
The Prestige, yeah.
That's a
You see, again,
all comes back to Christopher Nolan. Jody brought it up. Yeah. Jody brought it up. Christopher Nolan. That's a Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh.
One of his best.
And that is not The Greatest Showman.
No. But he is a magician in there. No.
Yes, it is. But just The Greatest Showman as a musical.
A little bit less singing in the
And less stage. Christian Bale.
Less Bale. Only not even one Bale in that.
But I don't like the way he sings necessarily. It's theater singing.
Mm. But he's got a theater background. Yeah. His singing wasn't great in Les Mis.
Yeah, but no one's singing was great in Les Mis because they
not
didn't.
Not even Russell Crowe?
They didn't. Okay, if you don't know,
they're talking.
When they film musicals, they usually record the songs and the singing separately,
yeah.
And then they dub it in. Mm-hmm. But the director, for some reason, wanted the actors to actually act and sing at the same time. But it is hard to show emotion and sing at the same time. You're supposed to be chunking snot and trana.
Yeah, and then there's like and rain sing. And scenes in...
Ridiculous. That's why theater actors act a certain way. And they're not acting that way in this film. Mm-hmm. In that film, Les Mis. So it was a huge fuck up. And yes. It was one of the reasons why Russell Crowe, who's not the best singer, sounded even worse.
Yeah.
And Hugh Jackman sounded the way he did, and Another Way.
Another Way got the Oscar, though.
She did get the Oscar, I mean, but yo, so much. Ugh, that movie is tiring.
Hugh Jackman, Deadpool 3.
Yeah, fine, whatever. I don't fucking care. Stop fucking obsessing. Leave the man alone. He put his clothes down years ago.
He's literally just taking people for a cut now. He must.
And I want him to keep meeting with Ryan Reynolds. Everybody must lose their fucking minds. Yeah, leave
it. For it to never happen.
Leave it alone. The biggest cock tease ever.
Sec, it's time for a review.
Righto, this week we're reviewing Thor, Love and Thunder, directed by Taika Waititi. This stars Chris Hemsworth and all the other Thor people. Taika Waititi, returning Natalie Portman, Who else is in there, Russ? Christian Bale makes his debut in the MCU. That's the essential. Tessa Thompson.
That's the main ones. Yeah, Tessa Thompson as well.
So Thor embarks on a journey unlike anything he's ever faced. A quest for inner peace. However, his retirement gets interrupted by Gore the God Butcher, a galactic killer who seeks the extinction of the gods.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Taika be taikaing, eh?
Okay.
Just off the bat.
I don't know. I didn't like the start of this film.
This movie, broadly speaking, I haven't read any reviews, but it's been getting mixed reviews, right? And you and I went to watch it. We did our quick thoughts. And I quite liked what you said, because I agreed with you. Like, the start of this film, it's a bit janky.
It is a bit janky, but not. I think they lean a bit too much into the goofy, silly side of it. And it runs the risk of Thor, instead of Thor being a funny character, him being like the joke.
Caricature.
Yeah, it's like a butt of every joke.
Yeah.
He does play a himbo very well, Chris Hemsworth. But when it starts off, it's like the tonal shift is a bit much for me.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't quite know what they wanted to do. So they had a mixture of...
Well, there was a lot of improv.
And apparently there's a director's cut he could release with like 2 hours.
Yeah, but he says it's all shit.
Jokes, yeah. But I feel like tonally they weren't quite sure whether they wanted to dive into the emotional stuff or whether they wanted to just embrace like the wackiness that Ragnarok brought to the MCU.
But,
and it felt jarring, like they couldn't settle on any one thing.
Yeah, Ragnarok was a bit more tonally balanced because I do believe that with Chris Hemsworth's range, he can switch between comedy and sort of serious emotionality quite easily. Yeah. And it's super believable. And I really like that about Thor.
Yeah.
Thor's trying to keep a sunny disposition, but inside he's a broken man.
Can we talk about...
We can talk about anything except Gore's, spoilers.
Well, that's what I want to ask. Gore's motivation.
Well, the movie starts off and you see Gore's motivation.
Right? So, is that a spoiler?
No, it's not really.
Because it's right at the start of the film. It's the opening scene.
It is the opening scene, yeah. He's with his daughter in what seems like a desert. There's no water. Everything's fucked. And he's praying to the God that they pray to.
Yeah.
And God doesn't stick it. And then his daughter dies and he walks further, or he's about to die, and then he sees an oasis and he encounters this God, and he finds out the God doesn't actually give a shit about any of them.
Exactly. Now when I talk about the tonal shifting, that scene, the emotions in that scene had Jenna crying. Like, Jenna was crying with that child dying.
That's Christian Bale, man.
And
it's Christian Bale.
So you have that happen, right, as your intro to the film, and then you go straight into from that to Thor Ragnarok on steroids. You know, with him and the Guardians, and let me tell you about the Viking pirate, you know, that whole thing.
It's
really weird.
It's jarring, yeah. And I do think that the movie only really finds its feet closer to the middle, the second act.
Definitely.
And then I was like, okay, this is what I want to see.
Yeah.
This is where the meat is. So, story-wise, Thor is with the Guardians when we find him. I am kind of glad that we didn't see much of the Guardians.
I am, but I feel like I would have rather not had them at all, to be honest. I feel like...
No, but you have to have them.
I understand that.
No, but you have to have them.
They totally nerfed those characters.
They did, but it was an act. The Guardians characters. Remember, they're not hustlers, but they're like heroes for hire.
They are, but I'm saying for me, the portrayal of the Guardians in this film was stupid as shit. They portrayed them so badly, I would have rather not had them in. I would have just had them reference what happened there instead of showing us the Guardians being completely useless.
That was an act.
But to me, it looks bad for those characters.
I don't think they care as long as they're getting credits.
Okay. I see your point.
No, it's the essence of the Guardians.
No, I see your point, but I felt like they were nerfed, to me.
Okay. I see your point as well.
I hear you.
And...
I hear you, talking cut.
But I'm not listening. No, so to me, it seemed like it was all an act for the drama and for them to call in Dennis, and it was fine.
What I actually thought was perhaps it's just that this is Korg telling the story in this way.
That is also
because
true.
Because Korg's telling the kids.
It's his way of telling
so
the story.
So I'm like, maybe Korg is telling the story and the Guardians look like idiots in the story because that's how he's telling.
But they were so glad to get rid of him. That was
eventually,
kind of
yeah. Like, take my ship.
Now, you see, that type of thing, like, for Thor to be so unawares, it doesn't make sense. It's just too much of a disconnect from and where Thor used to be.
Exactly. And that, to me, has been an issue. Even though Thor has the most movies, the most individual movies of any of the Marvel characters, it's like they don't know what these characters are doing.
Mm.
Thor 2 was universally regarded as the worst Marvel movie, right?
With Thor 2, the worst Thor.
The worst one. Dark World. But his character actually had like growth in Ragnarok and Infinity War. He was the MVP.
Mm.
So we saw this seemingly like really strong journey for Thor that I feel with Endgame and in this film, it's almost like they disregarded a lot of his character growth.
Yeah.
Because now he's doing the himbo thing again. It's just...
The himbo thing is fine in moderation.
In moderation, yeah.
100%. But you were full himbo for that first act. Mm. Yes, it was hectic for me. I to the point where I wasn't even fully laughing. There were giggles and stuff.
Mm.
But I wasn't like totally enjoying it.
Yeah, there were too many.
Yeah.
It's like we're throwing stuff at the wall. Let's just see what's
full on
comedy.
Boom, 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 boom. Like that the whole time. No, but we're getting to that. That being said, there are some big, big laughs for me.
Mm.
And one of the constant big laughs for me was the fucking goats.
Oh, the goats that were based on
the Taylor Swift meme of the screaming goat. Because the timing of that was so well done because they introduced these goats way in the beginning.
Yes. And much earlier than I suspected.
The goats come. It's giant goats that Thor now has, and you know they can ride them in the galaxy or whatever. But they scream every time.
Yeah. They are just crazy.
They're
violent
nuts.
And crazy.
But in between screams, there's enough time to you be like, oh yeah, I forgot about the goats, and then the goats come out.
It's not overdone at all. In actual direct comparison to the slapstick Thor stuff that they are trying. Yeah. You know, the timing with the goats is just so much better.
Yeah, so anyway, Thor leaves the Guardians because he finds out that...
He sees a message from Lady Sif.
Yeah, he sees a message from Lady Sif, lost her hand. He's like, no, I have to go to Sif.
The Guardians are like, there's thousands of other distress calls. We'll go investigate that.
Yeah. So then he finds out about Gore the God Butcher and that Asgard is his next target.
Yes.
So he has to go back to Asgard. I assume he hasn't been there for a while.
Yeah.
And you get to see what new Asgard is like.
Yeah, King Valkyrie has been coining it for Asgard.
Asgard's a tourist destination. Did you recognize the tour guide?
No, I did not.
The tour guide is Derek from the short.
Really?
Yeah.
Although I had to bring Derek back at some point.
So Taika Waititi, that's what birthed everything. Mm-hmm. Is Taika Waititi directed a short mockumentary of Thor living with a guy named Derek.
Yeah. Like how many of those? Two or three?
There's like two. Out. And Derek was this guy who was just... Oh, that's where the himbo Thor sort of came into play. And then we're like, oh, we can do something with this. And Derek was the guy that Thor was living with who had mentate for Thor. He just wanted him to leave.
Yeah, I mean, Thor would like leave Mjolnir like on the toilet lid and shit and Derek couldn't get in.
So the theory is that Thor got Derek a job because Thor owed him money.
Because of messing up the flat.
Well, I mean, in general, like living for free and shit. So it's like, I can get you a job at New Asgard.
So Derek's like, yeah, I'll move.
So Derek was the tour guide, which I thought was a nice callback. And then...
Speaking of callbacks.
Yeah, callbacks. I don't know where you're going with that.
What do you think of Jane Foster's return?
Speaking of callbacks.
Well, again, there's a spoilery aspect to some of the reason Jane's back.
Yeah, so we won't touch on that. Yeah. But we will touch on, because she's in the trailer. I really enjoyed Jane Foster. I really enjoyed Natalie Portman. I really enjoyed the fact that she had something to do this time around.
Definitely. Like Natalie Portman.
You don't cast Natalie Portman if you don't give her something to do.
You know what I mean?
Man.
Like if you're just going to play her off as like a love interest who's kind of useless or she's
too hot people, just hot
by
the
ether and whatever. It's a waste. But her return here was actually worthwhile.
Oh, where?
I really felt that they used the character well. I loved her portrayal of Mighty Thor.
Mm.
Initially, when I heard they were going to do that, I wondered, does Natalie Portman pull off the physicality of that role? Because Mighty Thor is badass.
Can I say something quickly?
You may.
Abby had an issue with her walk.
Maybe it's a chest plate. It was heavy.
The chest plate affects
her. I thought the walk was fine. It was gangster.
The whole movie. You didn't see it because you were so gripped
up. Her arms had me mesmerized.
Wow,
she was toned AF.
I was more mesmerized by her performance. So. Yeah.
Astounding. She was
such
brilliant
a,
in this
such
role.
A male thing to say, Jody. No, she was like everyone got beefed up. She looked amazing, and King Valkyrie was amazing. Korg. So he was Korg, and you know he's going to be Korg. He's Taika Waititi, and even Thor. Like towards the second and third act, Thor was really like he was giving me that Thor again.
Yes. Once they figured out, I think, what the tone of this film should be, and they kind of settled into, you know, that's the movie.
Yeah.
Which I think was also largely driven by Christian Bale's character coming through.
No, for sure. I mean, he was menacing as all hell. Yeah. Like, I really liked... People were upset about the design initially.
Because of the lack of the noses there.
Yeah, but I mean... But I understand why they made that decision.
That would have been said, too similar to Voldemort.
Exactly. Without. And I feel that was fair. And what they did do with it was fucking amazing. There were scenes where he's just walking out of the darkness and you see his eyes glow first. And I was like, shit.
Yeah.
This is scary as shit, man.
I think we were very excited about Christian Bale coming in and being the villain. Part of me wonders if it wasn't Taika doing Taika stuff only. Like, what more could Gore have done? As a villain character.
No, I did. I was going to get to that in spoilers, but I did want some more stuff with Gore.
You know what I mean? I feel like there was some stuff that was unexplored there that they could have really gone like hectic with.
No, I just needed to see how dangerous he was to the gods.
Yes.
Other than that, I think it was okay, but it was more in passing that like, oh, Gore's killing all the gods, and they just say it.
Yeah, know? They just show us like all of these gods have died.
I wanted to see like him fucking approaching a god. Yeah,
confronting them and then being like, showing like, look at you, you don't care about your people.
Yeah. But so I think that for
I time, wanted to see more of that too.
But if you think about what he said, he's got like fucking 2 hours of jokes.
Mm.
I think he decided to go with the jokes as opposed to like shoot something like that. Which I think the movie did need a little bit.
Mm. That's what I'm saying. I feel like what would a different director have done with that character?
No, I don't think the director. I think you just needed another editor.
An editor.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Stick a producer or something.
I think he needed that movie needs an edit. But overall, a lot of fun. I mean, I like the world. The way the world looks. I think visually the movie is really striking. And especially the third act at the end.
Yes, with
that was a really good, cool idea. It was Bafok coming in there, the little planet and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's there.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'll say that some of the things fell flat. Like for me, some of the things didn't work.
Like
once it got in, like I feel like the omnipotent city, like all those gods, was a bit of a waste.
I actually like that. Russell Crowe was really good.
Russell Crowe was good, but I felt like again it was just trying to be too funny all the time.
No, but you know what? No, you know what? What worked is that's when Thor started to become Thor.
Yeah.
So that worked for me.
But narratively, it's like they go there looking for help. Like, they need the gods to help them to get Gore. But then suddenly it's like they need the bolt, actually. Which wasn't discussed before. It's like they just decided while they're there, that's the thing they actually need. Which I felt like, why didn't you then hype that up in advance? For me, that fell flat. The jokes in the beginning was pushed too hard. But the stuff that worked well, really worked well. Like Thor and Jane's relationship. The story, once it got going from about that midpoint onwards, like you're saying, where Thor switches on and he's like, I really need to go and save those
shit
kids,
is serious
all that
now,
stuff.
Yeah.
But before that, I was actually getting really pissed off at what I felt was a wasted opportunity.
No, I really liked Omnipotent City. It was cool.
Hedonistic.
Seeing all those gods. And it plays into the fact that the gods didn't really care about anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
So it and Zeus being the strongest, there was a point where Abby fucking had to stifle her laugh when he walked.
When he got off with his,
nobody, lifting his little first, and then he did a turn, and then he walked down. Yeah. It was cack funny. You see, even in the jokey parts, there were really jokes.
I'll come back to Zeus with the spoilers as well.
Not everything worked, but for the most part, this movie is still a lot of fun.
Yeah. So overall rating.
Overall rating, I'm going to say it's quiet. It's one of the... But then again, I'm looking at this phase differently, man. Mm. So it's like, take it as it comes. This is a lot of fun. I will watch it again. And I think I'll enjoy it again.
Yeah. Overall for me, also quiet. Once it got going, I was in it.
Yeah.
And the music and the color, everything. All of that stuff.
80s metal vibe, it worked. If he does do a next project, he needs to rein it in a little. Or maybe give someone else a shot.
True.
They can keep that tone. They can keep the...
Just a bit tighter on some of the production.
Tighter Waititi. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Oh, he likes that one.
Like it.
First high five. Mm. So, yeah. I think it's quite overall. Abby, do you have a spoiler sound?
Five minutes?
We don't even have 5 minutes to talk about the movie.
It's like a third of our time budget. Jane Fonda dies.
Yo. Jane Foster.
Jane Foster dies. Oh, fuck.
It's either Jane Fonda or Jodie Foster. According to Korg.
Yeah, Jane Foster dies. Yeah, it was emotional.
Gore dies.
But you know the villain has to die.
Mm.
Unless it's a Loki.
Yeah.
Because then he died. That was actually quite funny.
When
they were saying he died, and then he died again, and then he died again. Yeah. That was funny. And Thor's back tattoo. Yeah. R.I.P. Loki.
Yeah.
So what are the spoilers you want to talk about, Zeus?
So Zeus-wise, obviously post-credits, we see a completely different version of Zeus compared with the version of Zeus that we see.
Not really.
I felt like it.
You fucking feel a lot of things that I did not feel. It's weird.
Hear me, Ross.
I'm not going to listen.
So Zeus with that whole omnipotent city thing was like Khatmak is making jokes and all that stuff. We get an idea that he's very powerful, but we don't really see him like I'm really fucking pissed at people. And then with the twist in the post-credit scene, we see a Zeus who's like, these people need to learn. I need to teach them lessons and stuff. And then bang, we get our big twist that
Achilles but that makes sense because he's petulant.
But it's a different version of him for me. A version that I would have liked to have seen more earlier in the film.
It makes perfect sense for me. Yeah. Because that is Zeus in his safe space. And he's like, everybody praises him and loves him and fine. And then someone showed that Zeus is not all powerful.
Yeah.
And now he's pissed off. So that tracks for me.
Okay.
You crazy.
Whatever. You sitting on Taika's YPP.
What? That had nothing to do with the director. It's literally the portrayal.
It's his directorial choices. I'm disagreeing with his choices.
Could have been Russell Crowe's choices, but
I
fine.
I feel like I made a quite Taika Waititi and he didn't even like...
Yeah, no, it didn't. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was fine for me. Speaking of the mid-credit scene, the introduction of Hercules.
Yeah, Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
That, I literally said, yo, out loud in the cinema.
Yeah, that was quiet.
I did not know about that casting.
Hercules, they kept it under wraps like a mofo. Hercules is a cool character in the comics. He's super strong and I think he was part of the Avengers at some point.
Yes, there's numerous versions of him that
draws. So I'm glad it's him.
I'm very interested to see where they take that character.
I'm not now, even, like, in know, terms of like the movies.
That guy and...
I'm not even happy, like, in terms of the movies. I'm just happy he's got, like, work. Yeah.
Because he's so good. That's also true. Yeah. I mean, Brett Goldstein is... Oh, he is so good in Ted Lasso.
And he was more of a writer before.
Yeah.
Comedian and writer, so... It's nice to see him come to the forefront and actually maybe get some of that franchise.
And he's doing that voice. Like. He's got his full Roy Kent thing going there.
It fucking works. So I was glad to see that. And then the other after credit scene is Jane Foster is now in Valhalla. With Heimdall.
Not the park.
No, not Valhalla Park. She's in Valhalla, the I wouldn't say afterlife. It's more like a... Because they can come back. That's what I hope for.
That's what I think they are implying, is that there's going to be some way that she can get back.
Yeah. And remember, people also felt that they did Heimdall dirty.
Yeah, I mean, even Idris has complained about Heimdall not being able to do enough, and he thought he'd do more as that character.
Yeah.
And now we see him back, so...
Possibly, and he's got a son.
Yeah, Axel.
So Heimdall's son is called Axel, after, you know, being exposed to Guns N' Roses. And everyone's kids is in here.
Yeah, I mean, the Sweet Child of Mine, which was in all the marketing material, it's quite a... is it ironic that they use that song and then... We have the fun fact that you're about to go into.
Yeah, so Sweet. We're talking Natalie Portman's children, Christian Bale's children, Taika Waititi's children, and Chris Hemsworth's children are all in this form.
I did not know about the others. I just knew about Chris Hemsworth.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they're all in here. So that group of children that are taken captive,
yeah,
that's like all their kids together. Oh. And then Chris Hemsworth's son plays him as young Thor. And his daughter, India, is the one who becomes Love. So,
yes.
At the end, after the battle, which was amazing to see, like the black and white battle.
That Shadow Realm.
Yeah, like, that was really cool.
It was brilliantly done. Yeah. I wasn't sure how they were going to bring the black and white into it when I saw it in the trailer.
Mm.
But Taika was, that really worked well.
No, it did work. And then Gore, after they defeat Gore. So we find out that Gore is after the, what is it called?
He wants to get to Eternity.
Eternity. And Eternity is a place at the center of the universe, which will grant you one wish.
Yeah. Any wish.
Anything.
So the assumption throughout the film is that Gore wants to get there so that he can wish all of the gods.
All of the gods.
To be killed.
Yep. And so he gets there, and then Thor doesn't actually defeat him per se, but he destroys his source of power. And Gore still gets to that center of the universe place. And Thor's like, just bring her back or whatever. Mm. Like, bring your daughter back.
Yeah, the whole thing being...
I'm going to be with the one I love.
Exactly.
And you need to be with the one you love.
And that's why the return of Jane Foster is so important. Because they tell us, like, they show us a whole lot of new backstory to Thor and Jane. Mm. And how they are actually each other's true loves. And
yeah.
I mean, we haven't even mentioned the cancer subplot.
Yeah, I was going to get into that.
But Jane's character and her entire arc is so integral to the choices that Thor then makes that actually brings about, you know, not killing off all of the gods.
So we find out, so that is like kind of true to the comics. We find out that Jane is suffering from cancer. She's in stage 4 and Mjolnir calls her. We find out that Thor made an enchantment on Mjolnir to say always protect her. And Mjolnir calls her and Mjolnir's broken.
Reasoning.
Yeah,
I that love was cool. That actually. Yeah.
So Mjolnir was broken and it was a feature at New Asgard. And she goes and she gets the hammer and she becomes the mighty Thor. So, but every time she uses the hammer and she's Thor, it sort of accelerates the cancer.
Yeah, Thor explains so that it takes away from your mortality.
Yeah.
Because Thor is not supposed, or Mjolnir is not supposed to be wielded by a
mortal
person.
Yeah.
So it uses up what little life she has left
each
time she becomes mighty Thor.
Yeah. So that adds another element to it. And before he finally goes to face Gore, he's like, please don't use it. I can't lose you. And... I would like for you to live and we can come back or whatever. But she's forced to use it because Thor's having some trouble.
Yeah, Thor's not going to win that fight.
No.
Despite one of my absolute favorite moments, which is Thor bestowing the power of Thor on all of those kids.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was so brilliant.
Yeah, like, it was cool. You see, there's such good ideas.
That's why I'm saying the stuff that worked in this film,
it worked
so well that it made me not even care about the stuff.
Yeah, it's all about the balance, man. If you have more fun and it outweighs the bad things, then overall it's a good movie. Yeah,
because it picks up momentum.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad it finished
strong as opposed to the other way around.
Yes, exactly.
Because I would have been very upset if it started strong and ended badly. But yeah, then that's how the emotional core comes through.
I would actually say, based on that, for me, this has almost more rewatch value than Ragnarok.
Mm.
Because Ragnarok is funny and stuff, but... Some of the, like, long-term, like, the Thor story of Ragnarok, I don't like how some of it holds up. Whereas this one, I feel like the way the character develops at the end kind of as much better overall for Thor's arc.
I think it also helps that it's not tied into like the Infinity Saga.
Yes, I love that there was very little connection.
You know what's coming. Yeah. When you watch Ragnarok, you kind of know what's coming and how things are going to end. So this one is more of a standalone.
Very much. Yeah, which works. Yeah. I mean, this is, for me, if they want to do like these phase 4 and 5 films with existing properties, try and do this type of standalone thing.
Yeah. The interconnectivity doesn't always work. So standalone is nice. And this is a cool Thor standalone movie. I like the fact that, okay, Gore resurrects his daughter. And Gore dies because the God Butcher Sword,
Necro
the God
sword.
Killer Necro Sword, whatever. Oh, that is actually, in the comics, it's more like a symbiote.
Yeah. That's why people.
But they don't. They don't own the rights to that.
Yeah,
so Sony owns the rights to it. So they were. I think it was a cool compromise with the shadow monsters. Yes.
In fact, I would argue it worked better. Than
maybe. Well, we haven't seen it. So, did you read the Mighty Thor?
No.
So it is cool with that symbiote thing because it's like all
is that
over
related
him.
To the Black King? Then, no, not at all.
What Black King?
That whole Venom. Comic
No.
It's not connected.
I don't think so. I haven't read the Venom one. Yeah. But that is in the Thor mythology. Yeah, so you'll see like the symbiote go over him and stuff. Like that's pretty cool visually alone. But the Shadow Monsters was a nice compromise using that sword and creating these monsters was pretty cool. But then he resurrects his daughter and...
Yeah, he uses his wish to bring his daughter back.
But not save himself. Yes. And he's going to die and he looks to Thor and he says, protector. Yeah. And Thor's like, okay, well...
Powerful moment.
100%. Also. And... just shows Thor's growth.
Yeah.
Because he like takes her on and she becomes like his daughter.
Yeah. And also to me, that then shows that Chris Hemsworth has it in him.
Mm.
Like Christian Bale is probably one of the best actors going around right now. And Chris Hemsworth, in that scene with him, the two of them are like on par. You don't feel like one is better than the other.
But he is a fucking good actor. We've seen it.
But let him be that thing, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to play him off as stupid all the time.
Aware. It was a nice switcheroo to be like, the two of them are Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
So the daughter and Thor is Love and Thunder. I thought that was
because
fucking
throughout
cool.
The film, Gore keeps saying love.
Yeah.
When he not throughout, but whenever he
like throughout, he never stopped talking about it. Like he just appeared and he was like love.
Love. and I thought it's just an affectionate term, like a pet name.
So in that interview, or it was like a pre-screening or whatever, they said that this movie was gay as hell. Because they asked how gay is the movie? And then they're like,
that
oh, it's gay as hell.
Like a couple of years ago when they started also, that was a recurring theme
so,
when they described
it. Yeah, when they spoke about it. Because I saw a TikTok creator talk about it and I'd actually forgotten that they had spoken about King Valkyrie finding a queen.
Yes, that was supposed to be...
It doesn't happen in this film. And it doesn't happen. And then I was like, okay, maybe this movie wasn't gay as I thought it would be.
It really wasn't.
But do you think it's because of what they're seeing now, the trend of backlash with white American males?
Probably does play a role because
it's always
a big part of
it's
Marvel
always movie. Like a reference. Like they just talk about they Valkyrie allude. Finding a queen or having an ex-girlfriend, I would say.
Yeah. Like I think that some of the discussion I saw is that this is supposed to be like a very queer representative film.
But
it's
not
only alluded
yeah.
to like Valkyrie kisses
and
that
Korg now. That's how they make a baby is with like two
with
males.
Another male. So, but they don't embrace it.
No,
like,
they don't.
Like, I feel like, what's her name in Doctor Strange, where they talk about America Chavez's parents who were, like, her mothers.
Yeah.
It's almost like that is a better way to have done it than this,
She has, even on a jacket, like, there's a rainbow flag and it says Amore e Amore.
Mm.
So it's like things like that. But I think this movie could have gone gayer. I think they could have turned the gay up, especially promising that they're going to.
And then they
didn't actually
really
do it.
Under-delivered in that sense. But also there's supposed to be like an allusion to her and Captain Marvel potentially hooking up eventually. It's almost implied that there might be something going on with them. But I didn't really feel it at all.
Where?
This is now in the press material that's come out. Like Tessa Thompson talks about it because fans are angling for it.
But maybe you're right. Maybe there's a press that goes in the White House. Maybe it will come to the movie in the next movie.
But how do they... Yeah. But how does Marvel overcome that now, like the MCU? Because their big money market is white males. And if that is the category of fans who are pushing back against these ideas... that you've seen it with the series now on Disney Plus, where there's any type of diversity seems to have like major pushback. How do you then go that way in the films without taking a financial knock? What is Marvel going to now do? I mean, if it's on them. If they say they're going to do it, they should do what they say at the end of the day.
100%. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. That I would agree with that. It's just like, but then there are other markets. Fuck those people.
I mean, the supposed minorities.
Look at what Black Panther did.
Exactly my point. I mean, Black Panther is still the most successful domestic film
in the
US. And
the gay community is growing day by day.
So, I think they should actually just embrace what they want to do. They are creating more diverse characters, but just go for it.
Be a reflection of what the world is.
Yeah.
And fucking go for it. And I was a little disappointed. But that was only upon seeing that content creator's content and actually being like, you fucking right.
Yeah.
They weren't fully represented.
No, not at all.
So we can't take this as a win just yet. Mm-hmm. But it's a step in the right direction. But still, a lot of fun. She's really good, as Valkyrie.
Yeah, Tessa Thompson's she embodies this character now. And the whole thing about her running Asgard, being King Valkyrie and all of that, that's dope.
Yeah, what?
I don't hate her as much as I do.
That's a big win for her. Tessa, a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
Abby no longer hates her.
No, but Abby used to hate her for no reason. It was one of those things where you just don't like an actor for no reason. But she seemed to have won you over. Is it this movie that did it?
A little bit of Creed as well.
No, she didn't like her in Creed.
Okay.
No Creed.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. She's a big fan.
She's a huge fan. But go see it. Still one of the better films in the MCU.
Yeah.
It's one of the better Thors in the MCU.
Definitely. And I enjoyed this a lot more than Doctor Strange. For me, I thought this was a better film than that. And I think people should go out and see it. It's a good cinema experience.
It's a good cinema experience. And Thor, keep Thorin. I hope we get a fifth one. Fuck it.
Thor will return.
That ends with
Thor will return.
Evens me. I didn't see it. I was looking at my phone, probably waiting for the after credits. You know, he got super big. He was over 100 kilos.
Remember there were the rumors going around because when we were talking about Natalie Portman and toned arms, I was thinking Chris Hemsworth was fucking massive. He's supposed to do the Hulk Hogan film. I think the pics that came out while he was filming Thor, people assumed the Hulk Hogan movie was going forward. But that got put on ice for now.
Yeah, because Hulk Hogan's racist.
Yeah. How do you tell that story?
Yeah, why would you make a fucking biopic about the racist piece of shit?
But he was fucking huge in this movie.
When Zeus blows his clothes off, I couldn't. Was that CG? That must have been CG.
Well, according to Taika, you get the full Hemsworth. No holding back.
This film was also made with the volume. You know what the volume is?
No.
So in Star Wars, like The Mandalorian, they film it in that studio that LEDs around. That's called The Volume.
Oh.
And this was made using The Volume. And Tessa Thompson had said, The Volume makes it easier because you don't have to imagine what you're seeing.
You actually see
You're looking stuff. At it. And it's beautiful. And the way that it casts light onto your faces and the costumes felt really immersive and otherworldly. I really think this is the step forward in terms of CGI and whatever. But nothing can compare to actual sets, though.
Yeah.
And they built New Asgard is basically a town.
So it is going to be
a real tourist. Well, it's basically a town. And you think you're in... It's not in Norway, but you feel like you're in Norway. Yeah. And it's they just built
it. Makes sense, though, when you see that thing.
Why? Oh, yeah. She watched the Hot Ones interview.
Oh, okay.
That helps. That's exactly what those things are set up to do.
Yeah. You connect to them because they pick up.
But you can tell, man. You can tell who's in, you know.
He's trying to put on a thing. You can only put on so much when your mouth is on fire.
Oh, yeah. It's true. One more fun fact. The ship Thor, Jane Foster, and Valkyrie used to go after Gore is a nod towards Tom Cruise.
How?
Because the neon light over the cabin of the ship is called Cocktails and Dreams.
Ah.
And it is, that's the bar from the movie Cocktail.
Yeah.
Aruba, Jamaica. I'm surprised that song wasn't playing then.
That's true. That would have been on the nose.
Yeah, but.
I thought you were going to say they used the boats there on the M2.
No.
It came down to the house.
No, that's something else has been filmed there.
More with pirates.
So maybe.
Those boats are just lumming there. Ah, now, fuck. Right?
No, it Dungus was filmed there, wasn't it? Yeah.
Black Sails.
No, not Black Sails. Something else. Something new.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Our flag means death. No, maybe not.
I don't think Taika was in South Africa for that.
Anyway. So, yeah. Are there any shout-outs this week?
Well, we have a letter from Graziano.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
Noga Langeci.
Yeah, Graziano's gripes.
Is that the segment
That's
of the show?
That's the segment, Graziano's gripes.
How's it, Brasa? I don't even know where to start on this one. I still have mixed feelings thinking about it. I don't know if I'm just repeating everyone else's feelings or if I stand alone. I'm going to cut out some stuff here. Zack Snyder and DCU. DCEU. Who is more at fault? You guys phrased it so well recently when discussing Kevin Feige possibly going to DC. They really did lack direction of one central person who keeps the entire DCEU together. I assume it was meant to be Snyder. I really enjoyed Man of Steel, and maybe enough people did that WB thought his vision was the way to go. Thing is, Christopher Nolan was involved with the script and maybe also had a good influence on the film. To be honest, I think the more I think about it, the more I feel Nolan could have been the Feige person for the DCEU. Ben Affleck's Batman has a slight feel of a continuation from the Nolan films, Bruce Wayne being older and tired of fighting crime, Joker being locked up, and even with the recasting, it was still believable. Maybe he could have kept Snyder and WB happy by being the go-between and supervisor to keep everyone in their place. Sure, I don't know how much else we should read of this, but essentially, Graziano is saying that if Snyder was maybe a bit more tempered by someone like Christopher Nolan having oversight over these movies, then people, his vision would have been realized a lot better.
No.
I disagree.
No. No, first of all...
Jeff Johns was supposed to be that person.
Yeah, but I blame Snyder.
Yeah.
Because it's the success of that movie gave them hope. I feel. And that was the launching pad, right? Mm-hmm. And I blame Nolan as well because of Nolan's trilogy and the success that they
and
saw.
The gritty aspect of...
They like, lean too heavy into
dark
that.
And gritty.
Yeah,
yes,
it's crazy. So Nolan's at fault. Snyder's definitely at fault. Fuck that guy. He makes mm-hmm. cuck. He makes cuck. No, I'm being harsh, but he does. and David S. Goyer, he's another fucking culprit because he was the scriptwriter on Man of Steel.
Yes, he was. And he was also involved with Christopher Nolan's films and perhaps got a bit too confident.
Yeah, he did get confident because of Blade. He directed the worst Blade.
Yeah.
So
Hashtag Guillermo Blade 2. That's where the shit's at.
And Blade 1 is amazing.
Yeah, but also Blade 2.
Yeah, Blade 1 and 2. Class. Mm. Anyway. So, I blame a lot of them, but Zack Snyder's fan base are the real villains, yeah.
Yes.
Because they drove a lot of him just feeling emboldened that he's doing the right thing and whatever. My vision. Your vision is trash, bro. Yeah. You don't get the characters, and that is the main issue.
Yeah, I have a touch of, it's almost like with conspiracy theories, the thing that appeals to those communities. You know, like, we know something you don't.
Yeah.
And that's what I get with, like, Zack Snyder and that fan base of his. Mm. Is that it's this thing of if you don't like it, you don't get it.
You don't get it.
And I'm like, no, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I get what he's doing.
Because
I just don't like
it. It's not that deep, bruh.
Exactly.
You're not as deep as you think.
Yeah.
You're not as artsy as you think. Mm-hmm. You're not as deep as you think. You don't know how to tell a story.
Especially these character stories.
Yeah.
So, Graziano,
but his own story, too.
Yeah.
What's that other cuck that he made?
Which one?
The fucking army of the cuck.
Army of the...
Yes. Yeah. And then the one with the women's fantasy.
Sucker Punch.
Doo-doo, my bro.
Yeah. I enjoy the visuals in Sucker Punch, but the actual story...
No, he must be
just
a visual consultant.
Yeah. Yes. Do all the DP stuff. Director of photography for explanation. Yeah.
No, I think he has to fall on really hard times to do DP. Yeah.
So anyway, Graziano, we see your point. We don't agree that Zack Snyder would have been better with any type of guidance.
Have.
We just don't think he gets the case.
Yeah, and I don't agree with bringing Christopher Nolan.
Because even Man of Steel was divisive.
You took all the hope out of a hopeful character.
You had Superman killing someone right off the bat. It's like, That's not the way you could should have gone.
It's not the, it's not the way of the House of L. So yeah, thanks for your gripe, Graziano, but we don't fully agree with you, and because we record our thoughts, we are right.
Yeah.
No more shout outs for this week.
No.
Okay. If someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, Bicycle Brasso Podcast, and they can also write to us at bicyclebrasso@gmail.com.
Ah, write to us and send kisses.
Yeah, I mean, Graziano sent us 3 emails. We still haven't gotten to the one.
Yeah, Graziano, you can send like a cannoli or something, Graziano, if you want to. Panna cotta. Maybe a tiramisu, you know, something
just keep
nice.
Keep it a googie.
Stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe for us.